Are we hyping the wrong guy as wide receiver one?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Saturday. Thank you guys for being understanding about yesterday. I said I was going to get you a show. I promised I was going to get a show. So here we go. A little bit different Saturday morning version of the Top Button Podcast, the Friday version on Saturday morning. We're going to talk about wide receivers. It's possible we've been hyping the wrong guy. Not that it's binary, not that that means everybody won't be good, but the leader of that room, we may have had it wrong this whole time. We'll talk about that. Baseball's big win and the ironic finish. And then we're going to give our award for Jack Arce of the Week. He got a good one for this week. But I want to go ahead and jump right in. Look, when you start talking about guys being at the top of the depth chart or like the leading guy, it doesn't have to mean that everybody else is not good. It doesn't have to be binary where like if one or zero sum, where if one guy is good, that means he's taking away from the others and the others will be bad. I think the hype around Keyshawn Singleton is 100% justified. I think the hype, based off what I've seen around Jeremiah Koger, is 100% justified. But the guy kind of laying in, hiding in the weeds, in the reeds, just kind of hanging back, that's not getting a lot of headlines up until recently, but you start hearing his name more and more and more, and then he gave a very impressive post-practice interview, and it's got me rethinking, I guess, who's going to be that alpha dog in the room, and that's Chaz Nimrod. We all know the story of Chaz, you know, starting off at Tennessee, transferring to South Florida, and now he's obviously back in the SEC at Auburn. Hasn't really had that breakout season quite yet, but last year could have been it. And we're going to get to why that is here in just a second. But there's a couple of reasons why I think Chaz may be the guy that ends up being the leading receiver out of this whole room. Okay, you've heard multiple times now. You've heard Byron Brown call him out by name. You've heard Alex Golish mention him by name multiple times. He's constantly in the conversation. Even when you start asking about other wide receivers, he's constantly in the conversation. In his interview, he mentioned something where he said that he planned, or the plan for him this year was to be a combo guy, slot and outside. Remember our Tuesday practice notes we had, that we thought it was interesting that he was primarily in working with the slot guys, and he was the first one that would go. And one thing he said that I thought also that was interesting, he's like, he likes playing in the slot as well as the outside because the slot wide receiver gets to run routes on both sides of the formation, which kind of sounds like once you land in a outside wide receiver spot, you stick to that side of the field. So being a combo guy, that means to me you got a ton of responsibilities. They are comfortable giving you a lot more responsibilities, a lot more plays, a lot more routes to learn. You're incredibly well-rounded to be able to go boom outside and then hop back inside. Because again, if you're one of those outside guys, it seems like you're kind of married to one side of the field. So all your routes are run in, you know, one particular way. Whereas if you're combo, I guess you could go not only slot to outside wide receiver, but I guess you could probably go outside wide receiver on either side of the field. They just seem to want to fill his plate. They want to give him as much opportunities to make plays as possible. To me, that says They got high expectations for this guy. Speed is another reason. There's already conversations of him being the fastest player on the team right away. Had no idea that would even be a part of the conversation as far as Chaz Nimrod being the guy as far as fastest guy. He said Bryce Kane and Blake Woodby. Those are the two guys that he's competing with as far as speed goes, but most everybody feels like he's the fastest guy on the team. Boy, speed helps. Speed kills. To be able to go inside and outside, and you can kind of take the top off from really any formation is really good stuff. He had a really good deep ball catch against, I think, Boise State to open up the year last year. Nothing more than just running by people. Give him a little bit of space, and he can run by you. Speed is huge. So we couple in responsibilities with fastest guy on the team. Now we're cooking with something right now. Size. Guys, I didn't realize when you think slot wide receiver, what do you think? For me personally, I'm thinking sub 6 foot, so somewhere around 5'10", and 185, 190 pounds maybe, and much more lateral quickness in and out of breaks, burst, acceleration, than maybe top end speed. I get up to speed really quick. I get out of breaks really quick. I'm going to be a small guy that's going to be too quick for a linebacker or a safety to cover, but I'm not going to be a huge threat down the field. Get the ball. I'll be having a lot of success on comeback routes, quick ins and outs, digs, stuff like that. And, you know, I'm going to be a high reception, maybe low total yards kind of guy. Guys, he's 6'2", almost 200 pounds. I mean, when you talk about being a combo guy and being able to play inside and outside, he honestly, at times, he looks like one of the bigger wide receivers out there. Now, Keyshawn Singleton is a freak from a physicality standpoint. I mean, he's close to 220 pounds, and Koger is as well. But Nimrod, I'm saying like when he stands next to those guys, it doesn't look like a slot wide receiver standing beside an outside wide receiver. He looks a lot like Ben Obumanu, like that kind of size, or Devin Aromashadu. Like that to me, that's kind of how he looks to me as far as the way he's filled out, how tall he is. And to think about the fastest guy on the team at wide receiver also being, you know, close to 6'2", that is that's fun to think about. There's a lot of possibilities there. And then you talk about production and experience, and he's got the most of that whole crew. I really dug back into his first 6 games last year, and if he doesn't get injured in that North Texas game, okay, he had more yards and more touchdowns than Keyshawn Singleton did at that point of the season. Not more touchdowns. They had the same amount of touchdowns. They had 3. I thought he had 4. 466 yards. So duplicate that. They didn't play any other SEC teams on the back half of that schedule. Okay? They played Florida. I lumped Miami in with an SEC team. He had 4 catches for 128 yards and a 53-yarder against Miami. He wasn't scared against Miami. He was one of the higher-producing players on that offense against that really, really good defense. He was able to beat them deep, which is impressive. So, I mean, even last year, he could have been their number one guy. He was on pace to be their number one guy last year. It seems like guys look to him as a leader. He seems to be the leading voice in that room. I don't know, man. I think we may look up at the end of the year and Chaz Nimrod is the top dog in this wide receiver room, which, hey, I'm here for it. So I'm going to be very, very interested to see how the rest of the spring plays out and how the A-Day game plays out and, like, who stands out. And honestly, like, when we get to see some ones versus twos or ones versus ones on offense versus defense, where he lines up. I think that'll be really fun to see because it feels like and sounds like it could be anywhere on the field. And again, 6'2", 200, and fastest guy on the team, and you can line him up anywhere, man, I'm telling you, we may be hyping up the wrong guy. Not that the other guys don't deserve hype, so keep that in mind. Don't hit me in the comments with, like, everybody needs hype, everybody needs love. I'm loving on everybody. I just think Chaz hasn't been getting love, and he may end up being the best wide receiver of this bunch. So we'll see. We're going to talk about the baseball win. That was just so freaking awesome, man. We're going to jump into that in just a second. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, where car care meets hospitality. Anytime, if you're like me, you go into an auto shop, you're thinking, oh, man, I'm about to get ripped off. I'm about to get abused. I'm about to buy air filters, hoses, belts. I'm about to have to buy everything because you don't know any better. Well, these guys take care of you. You get a full 360 inspection with videos, pictures, everything, every single time you go in, so you know exactly what's going on. You even get like a little explanation of any potential issues, and they'll be honest with you. They'll say, look, this is probably like a level 5. This is probably like a level 10, a level 1. They'll be straight up with you, so show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. And also, hey, if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn-Opelika area, hit me up. It's KyleRush@KW.com. Whether you want to buy, build, or sell, showing some properties today to a listener. It doesn't matter. Like, I'd love to work with you, and you work directly with me too. So hit me up. Again, show me some love. I'd love to help you guys and your family out. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk about baseball, man. Holy cow, what an atmosphere last night. What a game. Everything about it. And the one thing that was in my mind when watching that game and seeing the crowd was Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And I think that sums up Auburn fans in a nutshell. If you build it, we are so hungry. So hungry for something fun to follow. So hungry for success. If you build it, we will come. And last night they broke an attendance record. It was like over 7,200 people, I believe. Just the stadium, the environment was electric. And then the game did not let – I don't think it let anybody down. The two pitchers, man, Rojas was absolute unbelievable for Texas. And then Marciano, God almighty, Jay, he's unreal. He's unhittable. 7 innings pitched, only gave up 2 hits, 1 run, which one of those hits was a home run. Only walked 2 people and struck out 9. Incredible. This pitching staff is unreal. Your midweek guys are unreal. Your weekend guys are unreal. It's like, for all the hate I feel like that Tiefert has gotten over the past several years, this is one of the better pitching staffs. Now, they still got a lot of baseball left to play. And this pitching staff, when healthy, though, is just incredible. Auburn honestly dominated this game. If you really think about it, how it played out, Auburn really dominated this game and deserved that finish, deserved the way this finished. 9 hits to their only 3. And 2 of their hits were home runs. Auburn left a bunch on base. There was bases loaded at times. There was runners on first and second with very few outs. And you couldn't – you had bases loaded with 1 out, and you hit into a double play to end an inning. Like, Auburn was so close so many times to busting that game open. Texas was really hanging on by a thread for most of the game. And then finally that string popped in the 9th inning, which was obviously so much fun to see. And the way it finished was incredible. It was poetry. You couldn't write it any better. You got your boy 43, Robbins, who pimped 2 home runs. And I will say this. I have no problem saying this. They were roasted. I'm talking roasted. He hit two bombs. He had one over the scoreboard. Really two to the deepest part of the field, and they were no doubters. I'm talking bombs. He has a really unique swing and kind of like an old school big high leg kick into the swing, and he's not a huge guy either. He just tattooed two. So give him props there, but he pimped him a little bit too much, you know, chirping at the fans, especially the last one that gave them the lead in the eighth inning. And then Auburn gets bases loaded. You get a base hit up the middle, and he's the center fielder. And he's coming up, I guess, to sort of make the play and slips a little bit, and the ball gets by him and goes all the way to the fence. And you know immediately when the ball gets by him, and you can see it's still rolling, like it still had enough mustard on it to get all the way to the fence, like you knew right off the bat is ball game. The fans go berserk. It's awesome that he was the one that was the error at the end. And even without the error, I mean, we tie the game. Even if he fields it, it's a tie ball game at worst. Just all around, man, this team is so much fun. This team is so much. The bats are great. The pitching staff is great. The fielding, I mean, he only had one error. It's just it's a really, really good baseball team. It's a really, really fun baseball team, and if I just challenge everybody, if you can get into that stadium at some point in time this year, you won't be disappointed. It's a blast. So, got a big one today. Let's try to take the series. That would hopefully, I mean, that might launch Auburn into, you know, number one in the country. UCLA, you're battling with UCLA for number one right now, and they stomp, they run ruled Maryland, so that doesn't help. But I still think Auburn's number two in RPI, and it hasn't updated yet. And baseball doesn't really have like quad one, quad two wins, but that would be like the most elite of elite quad one win right there. I got to think Auburn's going to be pushing for number one in RPI, especially if they can win this series. So could be a really, just catapult, start off the SEC schedule with a sweep and then a win against Texas, a sweep on the road, by the way, and then a win against Texas when Texas pretty much drummed us last year. It'd be a lot of fun. Good kickstart to the SEC schedule. So let's keep rooting them on. All right, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Jack Arse of the Week from Jack Arse Rentals. Go to jackarserentals.com, or if you're in East Alabama, give them a call, 762-208-5013. If you need a boom lift, if you need a mini X, if you need a skid steer, and you're in the East Alabama, Columbus area, these guys are the ones to reach out to. Use coupon code BARN10 at checkout in person or online to save 10% off. My Jack Arse of the Week is the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee chairperson, Keith Gill. You're probably asking why, because Keith and crew. So I maybe need to be the whole selection committee, but Keith is the one that came out with the quote in regards to SMU's BJ Edwards. Oh, we didn't know he was still hurt. We thought he was good. We thought he was good to go. They told us he was good to go. What am I talking about? SMU gets in as the last team in. And the selection committee basically said they believed B.J. Edwards would be back. That's what SMU said. He would be back. And their decision factored on top of him being back. So, obviously, he didn't play. And they get torched by Miami of Ohio. And, you know, Keith comes out and says, hey, we thought he was healthy. So, sorry. You just took their word for it. You just said, hey, is he good to go? Because if he's good, we're going to put you in. And they're like, oh yeah, he's good. He'll be there. He's starting. He'll play 40 minutes. That's the extent of what kind of research we did for a pretty significant decision. Hey guys, that's even if it's not Auburn, even if it was SMU or Oklahoma, that's a significant decision. And we kind of just willy-nilly walked through that thing. I mean, the guy missed the last six games of the season, and they lost five of them. Clearly not the same basketball team. At best, he was going to be limited. And that's the decision, you guys. That's the decision criteria you guys made to put them in over Oklahoma or Auburn. Why do we have committees? We have computers that will tell us who should be in and take all bias out, take all stupidity out, remove the margin for error. And then there's nobody to blame. Why do we do this committee stuff? Why do we need a committee other than the computers tell us who should be in and then you guys figure out where they should go play? How about that? Is that a good compromise? Because you guys are terrible. It's something every single year. It's something dumb, and it's not just in basketball. It's in football too. We have controversies there all the time. There's no reason. We have the tools to remove controversy. Use them. You're the selection chair. You're the head dog. You're the chairperson. And you're coming out and saying that you got duped over an injury. That's a terrible look. Got to be a better leader. Got to be a better leader than that. That can't happen. That cannot happen. Let me know what y'all think. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. We're going to be back again soon. We're going to have a barn cast for the NIT matchup on Sunday, 5:30. So make sure you're there. We probably won't do our barn cast live like we do on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock every week because of the basketball game. But it should suffice. So guys, thanks for being patient with me. Appreciate all the well wishes and the thoughts. And we'll be talking again soon. So it's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.